Today, we're going to continue our series of On Purpose. Last week, if you remember, we talked about we need to live a life of purpose, but the only way we're going to do that is not by accident. It's by living a life on purpose. And we came up with a plan, and the plan was to give, to serve, and to love. And this week, I want to introduce you to three people who are going to help you find places if you're looking for places to serve, or some faces to the places that we support. These are local nonprofits that we support, and many of you actually have put time in and you've given towards. So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna introduce them, and then I want you to give it up for them. So we've got Mary from North Gwinnett Co-op, and real quick, her last name's Warren. If you know Brooklyn Warren, this is Mary, her mother-in-law. So that's Mary, yeah. Yeah, okay, we can give it up for each of them. Okay, fine. Thanks, Clark. Then we've got Maureen from the Home of Hope, which we've talked about a lot here. Can we give it up for Maureen? And last but not least, we've got John from Eagle Ranch, which many of you have served at. Let's give it up for John. All right, so to start us off this morning, I would love for each of you to tell us about your organization and the people you serve. Mary, would you mind starting?
Absolutely. It's such a privilege to be here and to see some sweet faces I know. So the North Gwinnett Co-op is one of six co-ops in Gwinnett County. We are actually 30 years old this year. So the way it's designated is we're zip code restricted. So the North Gwinnett Co-op services the families that live in Suwanee, Sugar Hill, and the Beaufort extended area up to Houston and Auburn and those zip code areas. And how do we serve them? We are a food pantry. But if I could encourage you to know one thing this morning, we are so much more. We are giving medications, non-narcotic medications, to maybe our senior citizens that are choosing between food and medicine. We are giving utility assistance. We are also doing clothing and book bags that you helped us with so graciously. So that's what we're about.
Thanks, Mary. Maureen?
Absolutely.
Sure. Hi there, everybody. Good morning. Home of Hope at Gwinnett Children's Shelter is located right off Hamilton Mill Road here in Beaufort. We are a transitional living shelter for homeless children from birth to 17 with their young moms. The idea of Home of Hope is to address the homeless issue in Gwinnett County and the metro Atlanta area by keeping the family unit together and teaching mom to fish. Can't think of a better way than to help our children in our community. And I know it may come as a surprise to many of you that Gwinnett County does have a huge homeless issue. There are designated safe lots, unofficial, in Gwinnett, Hamilton Mill, Walmart, the Big Lots Shopping Center, where young people sleep in their cars with their children. Our goal is to take them out of those cars and the extended stay hotel life, keep that family unit together, and set mom on a path to independence.
That's awesome. Thanks. John?
And Eagle Ranch has been around since 1985, serving families in crisis, specifically providing a home life for children in those families in crisis. So we serve middle school is really our sweet spot, but we serve children kind of fourth grade up to the highest of 10th grade. And so the children come and live with us for an 18 to 24 month period while their entire family goes through intentional counseling. And our goal for these children, their families, is just for healing and for them coming together and moving out of that crisis, you know, into a new season of life. And so, so we've had the opportunity to do that for now many years.
Man, just the fact of the things you just told us, doesn't that blow your mind that that's happening in Gwinnett County and around and that there's people here to serve them? This is what Be Rich is all about. We partner with them because they're accomplishing the work. Now, John, you've only been in your role, what, 2.5 months?
That's right.
As the director of Eagle Ranch. That's a huge undertaking. So I'm going to ask you all some questions, but John, the first one goes to you. So our goal is, part of our plan is to serve on purpose. How have you seen people serving in your organization at Eagle Ranch and also yours when I go to you guys, and not just giving? How has that helped benefit your organization?
Yes, I mean, it's such a blessing to feel the just encouragement of the volunteer base. We have somewhere between 400 to 450 volunteers each year that serve in a variety of ways. I think one of the most, one that stands out immediately to me is we've got 315 acres that we've been blessed with on our campus. We talk about a major part of our therapeutic environment is really just this break from the hustle and bustle that these families are living in, and these children get to kind of recapture their childhood in many ways. And so one of the primary ways we have volunteer help is to help us in the maintenance of that property. And so we do serve Saturdays at least once a quarter, if not more often than that. And volunteers will come out, and everything from spreading mulch to building benches and really helping to support that environment. But we also have opportunities. There's a group of individuals that also provide meals for our house parents in the home. So as you can imagine, you know, making dinner for 8 to 10 children, because oftentimes you've got not just the children that we're serving, but also these house parents come oftentimes with their own children. And so it's a huge blessing to have those to have folks provide a meal for them every once in a while.
Man, and those kids are hungry.
They can eat, that's for sure.
I've been there during a meal. Oh my gosh, they can eat, people. So they need that a lot. Maureen, tell us about for you.
Thank you. So I could say much of the same on our 40 acres here in Buford, the way people come out and serve, serving meals and landscaping, things like that. But let me speak specifically to Gwinnett Church. We have opportunities on Wednesday nights when moms go to life skills training, which is required when they live our program. And when moms go to life skills class, we have kids club, and many Gwinnett Church friends come and volunteer. And that's the impact, that weekly impact you have on that child who looks forward to seeing you each week. I've had kids run up and say, "Miss Momo, is so-and-so coming tonight to kids club?" And I say, "Yes, he's going to be here, or she's going to be here." And they live for that each week, because a lot of times if mom's got 3 kids under 6 years old, and she's got to come in and go to life skills training, she's doing her laundry, she's getting, you know, she's living on our beautiful campus, but she's stressed. And she cannot pour into those children the way you all can when you come and serve weekly.
That's awesome. Thanks, Maureen. And the campus, you need to see their place. It's hidden in the middle of nowhere. I've missed it in some of the times I've been, because you drive it, and then you're like, where is it? And you drive in, and then you see this beautiful area where moms can feel safe with their kids, and then there's a place for people to play with them, people to do training. It's just incredible. Mary, let's talk about the co-op.
Absolutely. So just to clarify where we're located, if you go south on Buford Highway, and if you know where the Goodwill and the At Home store are going south towards 20, we back up and we're right there on Commerce Drive. But what I want to say to every one of you and to all of us is we could not exist without volunteers. None of our organizations could do in the impact. While we grew from 6,000 square feet to 14,000 square feet and opened that up just right before COVID, October 2019, it takes volunteers to do a lot of the muscle, to move the food and the crates of the food and just to receive the food and date the food. We don't date it as much as we just make sure it's not expired, because we do not give out expired food. But those just logistical operations. Now we've reopened our thrift store. And so it takes volunteers to help us to go through that and to make sure that the clothes and the items we're putting out are what we would want to wear. We fully believe that just because you might lack wealth, you don't lack dignity. So our thrift store looks more like a boutique. And wonderful volunteers like your Rhonda Moore, she comes in and helps us every Thursday afternoon. We also have a lovely couple that volunteered in last year's Be Rich campaign, and now they serve once every Saturday and take meals out and groceries to our senior citizens that are homebound. So there's just a lot of opportunities. And I encourage you, during the Be Rich campaign, there'll be little segments to get involved. But just because maybe that's filled, trust me, there's ways to be involved, and we'll expand more on that.
Your store has really expanded right before COVID. It's amazing. Because I remember I went in there before, and we were just noticing the small little area where the thrift stopped. But that, now you've got computers, and you've got the whole pantry area. And so there's places for people to serve, and it is so cool. And all of you, I feel like a lot of you I've talked to have served at one of these places. Raise your hand if you've served at one of these places. Wow, look at that. So a bunch of people. And it looks like there's some more room for some of you to get involved, which is why we're doing this. So the next question. I would love for you all to share a story about someone whose life has been impacted because of what you do. Maureen, I'm gonna start with you because I love what you told me before we started. So would you mind sharing that story about the mom? Yeah.
Okay, so this always makes me cry, you guys. I have so many stories, but I think we landed on this one. Right out here in our community, we had a mom with three kids living in her car. And I'm talking about right here, Hamilton Mill, 85 area, before she came to us. Her oldest son was in third grade at Ivy Creek Elementary. The next one down was two, and then she had like an eight-month-old baby sleeping in her car. When she got into our program, she shared the story with me. It's a big thing we do about not putting adult burdens on the shoulders of children. But that young man, 9 years old in third grade, had the weight of the world on his shoulders because, you know, mom told him, you can't tell anybody at school. You can't make friends because they can't know where you live because a policeman will take you away from me. And she didn't tell him to be ugly. She did it because she was terrified of losing her children that she loves, and he is terrified of losing her, so he keeps the secret. That same child coming into our program, hiding behind mom's leg, she told us he'd get picked on at school for wearing the same shirt three times that week because everything they owned was in a trash bag in the trunk, and she could go to the laundromat once a week. Think about that. That's our school. Those are our children. And so that young man came in hiding behind mom's legs and really timid. I promise you, by the end of week one, once he realizes he's in this safe, loving, nurturing environment, a beautiful campus, that little boy in a week's time tearing down the hall, Miss Momo, Miss Renita, Miss Angie, look what I made. And we don't have adult conversations. That little boy was free to be kids. The younger ones didn't really know. They kind of, you know, went where they went. But that little boy, watching him blossom and grow while with him will forever stay with me. And we all have an opportunity because our kids don't think of what poverty looks like out here in the suburbs. They don't think why that little boy has the same shirt on three times that week. But those are conversations around our dinner tables that we can have that you never, never know what somebody's going through. And it's a teachable, lovable, teachable, Christ-like moment to maybe open their eyes to something they wouldn't have otherwise seen. So.
Okay, I don't want to miss that before we go to the next story. What you just said was huge. Our kids don't understand that. I mean, we're bringing in snack boxes out here, right? And they're bringing in stuff and like, oh, this is going to help people. But there might be someone in their lunchroom, in their class, who wore the same shirt three times in a row and gets picked on. That might be a great conversation to have with the next generation, with our kids saying, hey, if that happens, let us know. Maybe there's something we can help them, or we can just pray for them or provide maybe a meal for them or some clothes. Who knows? Whatever it is, through you all. Thanks for sharing that, Maureen. That was, man, what a story, right? Wow. John, share the story that you told me before. Oh, I can't wait. Yeah. I love this.
Well, yeah, I was sharing with a group before. One that really is top of mind is actually a child that came to the ranch in the 80s and came in a really hard place, especially a really challenging relationship with his father. And came to the ranch and stayed for actually for about three and a half years and just had a transformative experience. But the way I intersected with this individual was actually just last week, our leadership team at Eagle Ranch went on a two-day retreat, just really connecting, looking ahead, you know, asking the Lord to reveal his vision for the ranch and for us individually. And as I was putting together the agenda for that retreat, one thing I really wanted to do was some element of team bonding, team building. And so one of the folks on my team said, well, you know, we need to reach out to Shane. And I said, who's Shane? They told me the story. And so it turns out that this individual, who was a ranch kid in the 80s, ended up going on to start his own business and actually does team building for organizations, has done them for corporations, literally around the world. And this individual got to come and bless us with his gifts and as leader and for our leadership team last week. And also I'd asked him to provide, I said, you know, beyond the team building, I'd love for you to just provide a word of exhortation, just given your unique perspective on what God has done. And so just kind of coming full circle and being able to see the way God's used us to give, but also, you know, to receive and see, life transformed from many years before. And he's married and has three kids of his own and, you know, talks about the impact of his house parents. And he said, when I look at my kids and I look at my parenting of my own kids, like I'm looking at my house parents of who stood in the gap for me in a really challenging time. And so just really, really special for me is new getting into this, getting to see some of those stories of impact.
Man, how crazy is that? that you, like, what, 20 years later, he's coming back to Eagle Ranch to almost give back because of what happened to him. And at Eagle Ranch, it's house parents who live with them, right? They're in the house with them.
They are.
For how long?
It's typically 18 to 24 months. And so it's not an entirety of that time. We talk about, well, we really partner with the families. So it's not we don't remove them from their home for 18, 24 months. We don't take custody of the children. We really partner with the parents. So they go home every other weekend away from the ranch to be able to be with their families, kind of practice both the parents and the children practicing what they've been learning at the ranch. And so we do see it as a partnership.
And so this guy felt so much love and his life was altered. I mean, his trajectory, that's what happens at Eagle Ranch. Just with all these organizations, their trajectory is altered. So now he's coming back and training how to do team building. And you said he's doing that around the world? Like he has an organization about it?
Yes, he is. Yep. And he's doing it literally around the world.
You just never know what hangs in the balance of you serving, right? Or what you get to do or what we get to be a part of. Thanks for sharing that, John.
Thank you.
Mary, your turn. I can't wait. Oh, gosh, I'm so excited about these stories.
I think what you said, you never know, and you truly never know. For me, the co-op was nothing more than a door knock. Every Halloween, the North Gwinnett Beta Club would come around and collect canned goods, and I'd go to my pantry, pick out non-expired, and donate. That was my exposure to the co-op. Well, then through some fun circumstances, I actually became a staff member 4 years ago. And my very first time signing up some children for Christmas gifts, one of the children came through and I just looked at him and I said, hey, I bet you're a 10th grader. No, you're an 11th grader. Are you at Buford? Because we serve a lot of Buford kids at high school. No, ma'am. Are you at Lanier? No, ma'am. And I just looked at him. I said, are you at North Gwinnett? Yes, ma'am. And we started talking. He was in my son's class. My son teaches there. And I'm like, light bulb, Mary, life is happening all around you, right where you live, right in the heart of Suwannee. So I just want to encourage you, like you were saying, you never know life circumstances. But real quick snippet, on our webpage is the story of Lolita. She, too, was homeless, living in an extended stay, couldn't afford it, had to move her children into her car. So we heard her story, got her situated. Yeah. Got her situated, and now she's working at a bank, and she's got a great life story. Same thing with Miss Christiane, a senior citizen who fainted in the co-op, didn't have food. We called the ambulance, and we've grown into her life now. And when we go to visit her, we can see this little composition notebook where she writes down who's called her for the week. And nobody'd even called her. So she lives over here on South Lee Street where there's a lot of senior citizens, to be honest with you. So now we go and visit her. We've taken her out for her birthday. Her birthday's this week. We're going to go do something for her, But one quick story about the little girl last week who I was sharing a success story. The high schools do a battle where they raise the amount of food. And so it was Lanier High's first time to battle Decula. And there was a little girl at Sycamore that wanted to get involved, and she did. And she made a huge difference, a little fourth grade girl. And Lanier won, and she's out on the field and crying. And anyway, now she has the confidence. Her grandmother came and called. She's going to run for student government because she had the confidence to do a food fight, and the high school students embrace her. So you just never know how partnering with any one of these organizations can affect your household.
Wait. So this girl, she organized this, and they won because of her?
We gave her the credit. She made the difference.
Because I know we do a food fight with my kids at Mill Creek, so this is a big deal.
The cool thing about, and we were just talking about this, we generally were out of corn and tuna. Y'all, those are staples. September, it gets crickets around the food bank. People think about donating food around the holidays, but it's funny how people like to eat around the year. And so anyway, the pantry gets a little bit quiet. And so the timing of the people that organize this, they recognize that. So those food fights, they're no joke. They're really blessing the organizations that they're pouring into. And so, yes, she really got a hold of it. And even just to be even more intricate, when I went to the ball game, guess what? Her grandmother is my other son's next door neighbor. You Man. Know, I mean,
small
it was just
world.
Life.
It's a small
it's just
world.
Life. It's cool.
Well, that's God. The thing. It's like, it's all around us. It's our choice to see it or not.
Yeah.
Really, it is. Every day we can make that choice to say, am I going to interact with this or not? So let's keep going on what you just talked about, this girl helping tilt the favor for Lanier for the food fight. What are some other ways, or what are some ways we can help? What are some ways that we can help serve you right now? How can we serve you all, not just during Be Rich, but during the year? Like you said, September. I didn't know that about September is when food banks go empty. That was helpful. So John, if you wouldn't mind starting, what are some ways that individuals can help serve now?
Yeah, I would say, I would just reaffirm, you know, come out to serve Saturday. If you have a desire to just get out, enjoy the beauty of the property that God has blessed Eagle Ranch with, you know, come and join us come out and do landscaping. If you feel a calling to provide meals, that would be an opportunity. And then I would, you know, to maybe beyond volunteerism, but if any of you feel the specific call, you know, even to house parent, you know, it's a very unique and special call. But as you can imagine, there's no just like clear career trajectory for, oh yeah, now that I'm going to be a house parent, you know, in an organization. And so we get stories from all over. But if God pricks your heart in that way, that would obviously be a really significant way that you could serve.
Awesome. Thanks, Maureen.
I would say, too, as well as coming out serving on campus with our 40 acres and sports fields and walking trails, and there's always something to do in there. Something needs painted and cleaned. But it's calling on me to tell you right now, pouring into those kids is something that I have seen as most valuable. One of the things we don't do yet, but I really am starting in the very near future, is a 9 to 12 on Saturday where we have adults come out and take our kids out and play, just to give our moms a couple hours to themselves in the morning, because typically it's just kids club on Wednesday night, and moms can take the kids out on the fields and things like that, but usually a lot of times they're under so much stress and pressure to have volunteers come and once again pour into our children. Just let them be free, get outside, get out from behind electronic devices. I think that would be really a great way for you to help. Coming into the holidays, we have events like crazy between now and right up to the week before Christmas where we'll need volunteers as well to serve. But those are like kind of one-hit wonders. So I would encourage you, if it calls to your heart to come in and be a part of our kids' lives while we have them, to that you go to our website, fill out the volunteer application, and we'll background check. We do it for free for our volunteers. We have over 200 vetted volunteers who come. Some come weekly and some come, you know, once a month, something like that. But take that time, check out that website, and fill out your application and come see us.
That's awesome. Thanks, Maureen. Mary?
So for the food pantry on the website, we're constantly listing the current needs, and that's actually me talking to you. I run the website. So at the bottom of the homepage, but right now I'm out of taco kits, so talk about love if you want to do a taco, taco kit, that would be great. And when you say do a food drive, I found a little secret. If you put a niche on it and make it fun, like I've got one group, they did cornhole, and it was a party, and you had to tell a corny joke to come to the party. But if you make collecting food fun and creative, it's much more successful. There was a business around here, and they stacked hamburger helper amongst their employees in their department and who could get the highest stack. I just had another company that did sculptures out of the canned food, and they brought in 4 truckloads. So birthday parties.
4 truckloads.
And trust me, I needed them. I needed them because when you're servicing 30, 40 vetted families a day, that food goes out. They get they get a chunk of groceries. So anyway, we really try to take care of our families. So anyway, make it fun, and then that will bring the food in. But here's another one to hit every one of us personally. If you are either outgrowing your clothes, changing your closets, or redecorating, then our thrift store is the place to donate. And the reason for that, too, is the money goes directly into the community that you live in, because that's what's paying our medical bills or the vetted families that need help with utility assistance. That's what that money goes to. So think of us when you have donations.
Awesome. Thanks so much for sharing that. So those are just multiple ways you can get involved. There's something for everyone. I love what y'all said. Thanks for doing that. And if you're wondering, like, what does it look like? How do I do that? You can go check it out. Just go email them on the website. They'll be happy to show you around when you get there. We'll post some stuff on our social media so you can learn more about these organizations. I would love for you all to share for our last couple of moments. You have a captive audience. What do you want them to know? What would you tell them? Mary, let's start with you.
I would love for you to pray for tomorrow morning. We are launching a mobile food pantry. We have a lot of families that are either cannot get to us, they're scared to get, maybe their license or deportation issues, and we look at humanity. We don't look at a lot of things. So we are launching that with 8 different mobile parks. That is starting tomorrow. Just continue to pray for our pantry. And we love all kind of resources like that. And then our staff, there's only 6 of us. And we do have a handful of regular volunteers, but we just covet your prayers and appreciate it because we can see them unfolding in every day.
Awesome, thanks, Mary. Maureen?
I would tell you all to continue to pray for the homeless. When I say the word homeless, I know it's human nature that many of you, there's an image in your mind right away that's the disheveled guy under the bridge in the inner city. I'm here today to tell you it's the beautiful young lady waiting your table at Chili's at lunch and going home to sleep in her car at night or on our campus, you know, in Buford. It's alive. It's here in Buford. Pray for all of those people. Pray that God leads me to the people who can help us continue doing what we're doing. We just started our 8th year. And we've done it with 0 government funding every year until COVID hit. And then we were able to use the government funding for what it was meant for, to keep us all going during this pandemic. And the last thing I would say while I have a captive audience here, a room full of supporters, is a heartfelt thank you. Thank you, and come see us.
Thanks, Marie. John.
I felt like the Lord laid it on my heart to just share with you all this morning. Just connecting with, you know, Raul, you said about, you know, me being new to Eagle Ranch. So just real quick context. I actually worked 10 years at Chick-fil-A in corporate marketing with them, and then felt God's call in January. I had only heard the name Eagle Ranch. I was not aware of what Eagle Ranch did, where it was, but I'd had in my entire career, there always been a whisper in my spirit of God saying that there will be a day when I call you out towards more direct ministry opportunities, and being here at Eagle Ranch and feeling the call and wrestling with God over the course of that calling was a season of Him really drawing out desires in my heart that I don't know if any of you can relate or resonate with, just that you sort of have things that are in there. They're like, is that even a real desire or not? Like, I don't know. Like, that dream I have, but I can't. Like, every time I try to make it happen, it's just I can't get there. I can't figure it out. And I just want to offer by way of encouragement that, like, the God that we worship is the one that knows. He put those desires in our heart, and He will call those forth, like, in due time. And so, just as encouragement to you, because I'm experiencing some of that in this season of just the beauty of the adventure He's called me and my family into in a way that we could never imagine. And sometimes it'll be a major career change, like what I went through. I don't know what it'll be for each of you, but it's just a beautiful thing to see that He is faithful to not only give us those desires, but to call them forth. And so I just encourage you to continue to walk in faith, trusting that He will draw those out in each of you.
Man, thanks, John. Going back to that statement I made earlier and that you kind of alluded to, we never know what hangs in the balance of the decisions we make. John was at Chick-fil-A for 10 years, right?
That's right.
And now you're doing this. All of you have a very similar story. I've heard your story of how God calls you to do something greater than yourselves. That's what our series is about. We all are here to live a life of purpose. God made you on purpose for a purpose. And today, these are just some stories you get to hear about what God's doing. And so I know some of you might be sitting there going, oh, great, you're pulling my heart, Raul. That's the goal, I'm going to be honest. Like, we want you to serve because it helps them and it helps our community. And a lot of times, I've even used this excuse, I don't know where the need is. I don't know where you want me, God. But if you sit in it for a little bit and you think about it and you ask God, where do you want me? He's going to show you. He's going to show you where to serve. He's going to show you where the need is. A lot of times, we just go through life nonstop. You know, that like that lazy river we talked about last week. But what if we stopped this week, prayed for these people, and prayed for their organizations and prayed for the people they serve? What if God shaped and shifted our hearts to do something and to show us what a life of purpose really looks like? So, you kind of mentioned this, Mary, about praying. I would love to know how specifically this week we as a church can pray for y'all. How can we, what specifically, and I encourage you to take notes if you haven't already, but on your phone, so you can pray for them this week, because I asked them for personal and organizational. Marie, would you mind starting, showing us how to pray for you specifically?
Me specifically?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I think I mentioned earlier, pray that God always guides my words, my tongue, to match my heart. I'm kind of a wear everything right here, strong personality. Please, Lord, guide my tongue. And pray that he leads me to the resources that we need so we can continue to address this huge homeless issue in Gwinnett County and surround these families in love and support. That would be the most important thing for me personally. Guide me to continue the mission and the path that you set me on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to add to Marines. I'm probably going to add to all of yours. Pray for the people who are coming to Home of Hope. And I know you said that earlier, but I'm just going to reiterate it. That, and just pray that they find it. That they know that there's help for them. And they know there's people out there who are there to serve them. Thanks, Marine. John, would you mind?
For the ranch, I would ask for your prayers that God would call house parents to us. You know, we have 10 homes on campus, and we have a couple openings at this stage. And God has provided in that, even with COVID, we intentionally reduced our numbers of children and families we were serving. So the numbers are right, you know, for this season. But as we see the calls keep coming in for families and children in crisis, there's just, you know, I'm looking at that like, God, where are you going to bring them from? Because as I mentioned, it's not an easy one to go, oh, well, clearly there's this pipeline of people that, you know, they're feeling this call. And so I would just ask for your prayers for that, that he would draw the hearts of couples that feel led to that work. And then for me personally, I appreciate you asking. Just being transparent, vulnerable with you all, I would ask for prayers that you would give me and our team the courage and the steadfastness to be able to stay, you know, fully engaged and present in the work for the long haul. What I mean by that is specifically, you know, like these folks as well, just there's a weightiness to what comes across our desks, our conversations, interactions, just a the weightiness of children's stories for me, of their families, and also the gut punch that it can be when you hope for people and you see just evil and you see poor decisions and your heart gets broken. And I've said to my team, I said, I want to be able to stay like Jesus, like fully engaged. I don't want to pull my heart back, you know, and stop hoping and become cynical. But I want to appropriately guard my heart of what does it look like to stay in it, to stay hopeful, as Jesus did. So I would just ask for prayers for, not just for me, but for our entire team, to stay appropriately engaged and emotionally present and hopeful, in the work that God is doing in our midst.
Man. Whew.
Ditto.
I feel like that's the prayer for all of you. You all sit in some seriously heavy situations that sometimes we don't even know. And like, I think about Eagle Ranch, because I've served there. I've served with all of them, but I've served there specifically with spending time with the boys there. And their stories, what you just said, if you know Eagle Ranch, you just felt that because you've been there. And these boys, and the girls there, like they need God, and they need to know that God is for them and for the staff too. Gosh, thanks for sharing that, John. Last but not least, Mary.
I'm going to say Kim Phillips is our executive director. And she should be in the seat this morning, but her son had an emergency. He's away at college and had an accident playing a rugby game. So she's in the ER with him. But she's also lost her mom 2 months ago, and then her father. And then just things have really just hit her personally in her household. So pray for protection for leadership, because listen, when the family in Buford lost, you know, the four in the fire, or there was another family, you would be amazed at how she intervenes with a crisis and works with those families. It's like nothing I've ever seen. And just doing so much more above and beyond. So if you would pray specifically for Kim Phillips and then the rest of the staff, we do a lot with a few people. And so we get stretched a good bit. We would appreciate your prayers, but it is definitely a worthwhile adventure, as you say. And I love what you said, pray for the long haul, that you don't get cynical and go, here's one more car or here's one more family, but there is a story behind those people having a need. And we're all just one accident shy of something maybe happening. And we've seen grown middle-aged men losing their jobs and just having a need that they didn't anticipate, especially during COVID. So people are embarrassed or humble when they come to the co-op, and a lot of times. And so we just want to recognize that and be truly the hands and feet of Jesus and minister to them. So thank you for any and all prayers for all of us. It's very much appreciated.
Thanks. And Kim is the director. And so I know she was supposed to be here and we got the call last night, and we'll be praying for her. Thank y'all for being vulnerable and sharing what's really going on and how you feel. We normally don't get that. So I love that we can pray for them very specifically. In fact, can we pray right now? Is that okay? I'd love for us to do that. Let's do it. God, thanks so much for loving us. And thanks for this opportunity we have to help people. Because you told us our horizontal relationship is just as important. In fact, it informs our vertical relationship with you. And so, Father, I pray for John, for Maureen, and for Mary with their lives right now, that you continue to remind them that you're going to sustain them. You're the one, you're the reason they do this. And remind them that every single day so they can keep going. Give them the wisdom to know what to do and the courage to do it. Give them the energy. I pray the same for their staffs. I pray for Kim and her son, that you heal him completely. And I pray for the people being served by their organizations, that you remind them that you love them and you're for them. And that this church loves them and is for them, because we want to be a church not for what we're against, known for what we're against, but what we're for. And we're so grateful that we get to support these nonprofits who do such a good work. So Father, I pray as you stir things on our hearts, as you remind us during this week that we need to live a life on purpose, but it's not going to happen by accident, that it needs to be on purpose. A life of purpose only happens on purpose, that you remind us of that, that these are some ways we can do that, and that we don't do it just one time, but we do it on a regular basis. Thanks for loving us, and thanks so much for being here with us. In your son's mighty name, we pray, Jesus. Amen.